Welcome and thanks for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages.
We applaud not for the singer, and really honestly not even for the song. A song is just a song, but a song has meaning. And we're about to talk about a song in the Scriptures, and we applaud for the Savior. And so it's the truth that we're singing about. That's the reason why we applaud. And I realize that sometimes you say, well, I think maybe I could do better than that. And there may be times where you say, I could never quite live up to that. But it's really not about the delivery. What it really is about is the message of the song. And so I hope in all these songs that we sing, specials or congregational songs, whatever it may be, that we really would applaud, whether we do it outwardly or not, in our hearts for how good God truly is. And that He would be willing to be close to us. Boy, what a thought that is this morning. And we praise God for it. Take your Bibles this morning. Go to Psalm number 139 this morning. Psalm number 139. I want to focus on a couple of very, very well-known verses of Scripture. But there is a specific portion of one verse in particular that has stuck out to me for a long time. And not too long ago, I decided I wanted to study it out and try to figure out exactly what it meant. And I can just tell this morning that this is exactly what the Lord has, even down to singing Sunday night's song Sunday morning, and even having a different preacher than what I thought we were going to have this morning. And totally and completely the responsibility of the pastor, but like I said, I can tell that the Lord ordered each and every part of this, including this message this morning. Psalm number 139, we're going to read two verses, verses 13 and 14 this morning. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Now, I want you to pay close attention to verse number 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Well, what is it? What's the phrase or the wording that has stuck out to me for a long time now? For I am fearfully made. Now, I've always looked at that part, the wonderful part, and I thought, well, I think I understand exactly what God is saying when he says, through the psalmist, I am wonderfully made. But that word fearfully, as an adverb to describe being made, I've been fearfully made. What in the world does that mean? And we're going to attempt to talk about it this morning. The title of the message this morning is The Unique You. The Unique You. Now, we're living in a day where supposedly, and I think there's a lot of truth to this, folks all over are experiencing what they might call or what others might call an identity crisis. And we need to realize where, as human beings and certainly as believers, where our true identity lies. And so this morning we'll bring the message, The Unique You. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful. Thankful, Lord, for the way that you orchestrate things. And Lord, we're so thankful for the truths of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you have told us and showed us clearly our identity. And I pray this morning that the people of God would realize it. I pray that we'll understand how unique you have made us in you. And I pray that we will go out and be our unique selves according to your purpose and your design. Help us, Lord, because we know that we live in a day where folks are attempting to maybe recreate their identity or assume the identity of another. And I pray, Lord, we won't be washed about, carried about with those sorts of things, but I pray that we'll be steady in who you've created us to be and be who you've created us to be all the days of our lives. I pray again, if there is somebody here that's lost and doesn't know Christ as Savior, Lord, help them to realize that you had a plan from the beginning for them as well. And so we help us now, Lord, with everything that we have this morning going on. And I pray that you'll settle our hearts and help us to be able to bring this message. And Lord, take it and be what we ought to be. In Jesus' name, amen. The word psalm is a musical term referring to a grouping of words meant to have music placed or set to it, particularly a stringed musical instrument. This word, psalm. The primary poet, humanly speaking, for the book of Psalms in the Bible is David. All right, one person knows anyway. Before David was a king, he was a shepherd and a musician. He knew how to do the long, hard, messy work of caring for a herd of animals, but he also had a gentle, artistic side that was manifested in his music. By the way, we live in a day where a lot of these things have been so mixed up. And so sometimes we think that as a man, because we're supposed to be manly, that we cannot have a gentler, softer, kinder side. Men, we ought to, and we see that all throughout the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, we see that probably in somebody unlike we see it, unlike with anybody else, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was as manly as they come, but he was also a very gentle and a loving Savior, and he still is to this day. The Bible tells us that he met the job qualification for being, quote, a cunning player on an harp, unquote. He was accomplished enough on the harp that he earned a spot playing for the king of his nation. We ought to take seriously the skills that God has given us. And who knows, as the book of Proverbs tells us, that our gifts will take us before honorable men. We ought to take very seriously the skills that God has given us and seek to better those skills and seek to work on those skills. And who knows what God will do with them. I was just talking to one of the men in the church yesterday afternoon, and I said, you know, this has been an interesting year for various reasons, but one of the reasons this year in particular has seemed interesting to me is all over our church, I've seen one after another, church members who have been toiling in their skill set or their job for many, many years, and all of a sudden, all kinds of promotions are coming about, seemingly, for a lot of our church people. What a blessing that is to see. Work on your task and your talent and the ability that God has given, and you never know what God will do with it. We know that David was not lazy or lacking in good character and self-government. While David was busily working, he cultivated the habit of blessing the Lord. Now again, anytime we talk about the word blessing, I want you to think about a position. And so what does it mean to bless the Lord then? It simply means to recognize the Lord's position. And when I bless the Lord, I recognize who He is and what He is and how great and how mighty and how high He is. Do you know that not only can God bless us, but also that we can bless Him? We can somehow increase the status and heart of the perfect one who has no needs by simply blessing the Lord, by recognizing his position. David accomplished this for God, similar to how you might bless your parent or maybe your spouse or your friend by spending time with them or maybe doing something for them. Doing a nice picture or painting, if you're one that likes to do those sorts of things, doing something for them, you would bless them. David drew a picture in words, and his picture captured beautifully his view of God. God in David's mind was strong and powerful and knew everything and was everywhere. At a point in David's poem, he couldn't help himself but to praise the Lord. The emphasis of this specific praise was based on God's creation of David. That was the emphasis. And the emphasis of our praise ought to always begin with the beginning. Not only the beginning of the world, as it were, but our beginning as well. We ought to always go back. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to have life. Life. Physical life. Yes, to go through the trials and the tests and the tribulations and the hardships that this life brings, but to enjoy the beauty and the wonder and the splendor that this life can bring. And not only that, but because we've been born physically, we can experience the new birth. David personally praised God for making him an individual, one of a kind, awesomely unique person, a human being. Now, I don't know if we have it quite figured it all out completely, but we're people too, human beings. Each and every one of us as unique as King David, the sweet psalmist and chivalrous shepherd of Israel. What am I saying? God has made us uniquely ourselves. And in a day and age where folks are trying to literally put on costumes to be somebody else, folks, let's be who God made us to be. The unique you. Number one, I want you to notice this morning the unique mindset. The unique mindset. I will praise thee. This is a praise mindset. This is a mindset that has come to terms with where one has come from, with one's origin. I want you to notice some scripture in the book of Acts. Hold your finger there in Psalm 139. Go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter number 9. Do you realize that the mindset to recognize where I came from is a unique mindset? It's a mindset that animals do not have. At least I assume they don't. I mean, I don't know. You know, maybe a horse thinks in his mind, God created me. I don't know. But we don't have any proof to be able to see like we can see from a human being to say, I know that God designed me. And so I will praise Him. Think about it now. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 5. We know this account here. Saul being called by the Lord and ultimately believing on the Lord, all of that. Acts chapter 9 verse number 5, notice what it says. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I really believe that this is a question that probably every human being in the world asks at some point in time. Who am I, but who are you? In other words, who allowed me to be born into this world? Who caused this? Where did I come from? And it's a unique mindset to say, I will praise the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 22, verse number 8. Acts chapter 22, verse number 8. I'm talking about a unique mindset. Acts chapter 22, verse number 8. And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? He said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Recounting this account that we see in Acts chapter number 9. But he's coming back to this truth over and over again. Acts chapter 26, verse number 15. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And when we witness to folks and when we talk to folks about who we are, we ought to always come back to the origin. I am who God created me to be. I came from the Lord, and I praise Him for who I am. All the nuances, all the little details, all the different body shapes and fashions, and I'm not talking about extra shape that we put on necessarily, those types of things, but I'm saying there are different types of body shapes and structures, and taller ones and shorter ones and lighter colored ones and darker colored ones and all that. Hey, I will praise Thee, Lord, for who You've made me to be. This unique mindset is a creative mindset. It is an imaginative mindset. The way that man can go about and can create things, can imagine things, and then can go about taking the materials that God has created and build things based upon that. All the towers throughout the world and the pyramids and all the masterful things that man has done. I'm saying it's a unique mindset this morning. We're not animals. God has given us a unique, creative, imaginative mindset. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5. We think about these things. The Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Do you ever look around and see things that are going on in this world, hear of new concepts that are going on in this world? I'm talking about from an evil perspective, and wonder, how in the world did they come up with that? You ever said to yourself, I don't know how we can go any further than that. And then we wake up tomorrow morning and we find out they've gone further than that. Well, God has given us that creative and that imaginative mindset, and because of sin, it takes us down very terrible roads if we allow it. But it also gives us the ability to be able to think differently than others. God doesn't want us just to have group think, as it's called. God wants us to be individual enough to be able to think within our minds, okay, let me try to figure this out. And so instead of allowing somebody to give me my opinion, no, I have a mind of my own. God's allowed me to be able to formulate some thoughts, and I can think through this. I'm thankful that the Lord, when He gave us the Word of God, He said that the Scriptures are of no private interpretation. That means He wanted every individual to be able to read the Bible and come to an individual conclusion as to what God is saying. I was watching something yesterday concerning the Catholic Church, specifically in the what is called the Dark Ages. And early on in the 300s, that period there, one of the things that immediately the Roman Catholic Church said is the regular average person is not to have a copy of the Scripture. In other words, there is a higher class, a higher level of thinking class, and we're going to kind of figure out what God has to say, and we'll tell you what God has to say. And we know the atrocities that came about because of that, probably hundreds of thousands, maybe even into the millions of folks that were killed because they decided, no, I'm not going to go along. So we have a creative and imaginative mindset, both divergent and convergent, meaning that we can divide, we can separate, and we can be individual in our thought processes, but we can also go through something and say within ourselves, yes, I agree with that, I'll come alongside that. It's a unique mindset that God has given us, not only for creating, but also for choosing. So not just for imagination, but also for volition. In other words, I will, I can make a decision, I can make a choice. No, folks, most of the time, it's not the devil that made us do it. It's not my wife that made me do it. It's not my husband that made me do it. Now, folks have influence in our lives, but I'm here to tell you, God wants us, and God has created us in such a way that we can choose. And we ought to choose righteously. A unique mindset, I will praise thee. And then we find not only a unique mindset, but unique makeup. Psalm 139, verse number 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I told you that I keyed in on this fearfully word, and we'll get to that here in just a second. But I want to think about that word wonderfully for just a moment. What makes our makeup so wonderful in the first place? What makes the 23 pairs of chromosomes of protein and DNA? What in the world is all that stuff anyway? I mean, the more I read about protein and listen to scientists talk about it, and not only is it something that we can take in, but literally it's something that our body is made up of. And the more I listen, the more complex it seems to be that God has created us. What is so wonderful about it? Well, think of it from this term. No other of God's creation is made in His own image and likeness. Mankind is literally the penultimate creation of God because, why? He was created in God's own image and likeness. There's nothing else that was made in God's image and God's likeness. It's a wonderful makeup. This triune makeup. Say triune, what does that mean? Well, three parts. John chapter 4, verse number 24. I'm just talking about the unique you this morning. We need not be confused about who we are. John chapter 4 and verse number 24, God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If mankind is not spiritual, in other words, if His makeup doesn't include the spiritual, we cannot worship God. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 talks about this makeup that God has given us uniquely as mankind. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What a wonderful makeup, soul and spirit and body and thoughts and intents. These are things that God has placed within us, like He's placed within no other of His creation. What a wonderful makeup. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23, we've kind of touched on it a little bit, but we're going to get more to it as we close out our series in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you or separate you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been created with this unique makeup of body, soul, and spirit made in God's likeness and image. We've been made with distinction. We're different from the rest of creation. How wonderful that is. But then this word fearfully. And we're talking about our makeup. We've talked about this triune way in which we've been made. But what about the terrible way that we've been made? Now, when we think about terrible, we think about it as something that's really bad. But really, that word terrible is something that is awesome. That's really what that word is. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew word for this fearfully is the word yare. It means fear or afraid. In other words, we're not to fear man, but God in man. We've been fearfully and wonderfully made. That means we've been made to fear not man, but to fear God in man. In other words, the only thing that I really fear in connection to man or in connection to the rest of creation is the God that created it. In other words, we've been made to recognize the only one that really, truly is to be feared. Now, there are things that cause us to be afraid in life, certainly. But when we fear God properly, He gives us a confidence even to go up against things that maybe others would not go up against. Why? Because we ought to fear Him first. So what does it mean to be fearfully made? It means to have that idea, that understanding that I have a makeup that is terrible in God. When God said, man, you are to have dominion, how could other people or other things fear God? They would fear Him because God made man in His image and in His likeness. We've been connected in our makeup with the Lord God. So there's this unique mindset and a unique makeup. It's different from anything else that God has made. But then we have a unique mission. Look back at Psalm 139 again. Psalm 139, notice verse number 14, a unique mission. So we're different, we think differently, we're made differently, but for what purpose? Well, we have a mission. He says in Psalm 139, 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now notice this, marvelous are thy works. God has not only done a work in me in allowing me to be made, to be created a certain way, but God has created for me works to accomplish. It's not just the work that He's made in me, but it's work that He wants to come or desires to come from me. Look at John chapter number 9. We have a unique mission as human beings. By the way, I want you to understand something. Every human being has the same mission. Now, I didn't say every human being fulfills that mission. But every human being is called to the exact same mission as every other human being. You say, well, that's not very unique. Well, we have unique ways in which we're to fulfill that mission. John chapter 9, verse number 1. John chapter 9, verse number 1. And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? God had allowed this man to be born a certain way, even more unique than what we would call the average person. Be careful when we in our minds make fun of folks because they've been born differently in some... I said born differently. Truly born differently. Not saying they've been born differently. You understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of folks say, well, you know, I was born this way. No, look at the Scriptures and figure out God did not create you that way. That's something you took on. But I'm talking about somebody that's been born with a disability like blindness or being crippled or maybe some sort of what we would call a mental disability. Be careful making fun in our minds about an individual like that. Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Verse number 3, John chapter 9. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. Notice this. This speaks to the mission of every human being. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. What does Jesus say to us as human beings? Ye are the light of the world. You that have become believers and been born into the family of God, ye are the light of the world. Why? You're connected to me. And the same mission that I had is the same mission that you ought to have. And that is to show others how great and how wonderful He truly is. It's a unique mission. Marvelous are thy works. It's both to the tangible, to the physical ability of what man is able to accomplish, and also to the intangible. These are special gifts and interests. And I really am. I'm thankful that there are all different sorts of personality. I mention this quite often. Diversity, this is a word that's thrown around quite a bit. Matter of fact, it's one of the words that was thrown about around recently in our city council, and we've tried to address that and all of that. God is for diversity. God created diversity. But it is a unique diversity. In other words, it's a diversity that relates to Him. It's what He put within us. That's why we perceive things certain ways and see things differently, and people have special interests and skills. That's because of what God has put within us. We shouldn't blame sinful acts or thoughts or words or deeds as if that's what the Lord has done, because He's righteous. But He's given us this unique mission that our works would proclaim the mighty God. Now, God has created us to be a unique you with a unique mindset, a unique makeup, and a unique mission. David's heart desire was to follow God's unique plan for his life. That was his mindset. That was his heart desire. I don't want to be like somebody else. No, I want to be like God and who He created me to be in Him. And that really ought to be the desire and the heart of every believer. I want to be unique, Lord, as You've created me to be, so that I can glorify You the way that You've created me to glorify You. Isn't it interesting that we've talked about diversity a little bit, the way that God has created such diverse things. Pastor Bush and my dad have actually been sort of doing something very similar here recently. I talked to my dad about it the other day. Brother Bush, about maybe once a month or so in junior church, has been talking about animals with the young people based on a biblical perspective and giving them biblical principles and all of that. My dad's been doing the exact same thing in the adult Bible study class, Sunday school class, there at our home church at Liberty Baptist Church. And isn't it amazing? You look around at animals and all the unique ways in which God has created them. I mean, from the massive animals that He's created all the way down to the little bitty ones. I mean, ones you can't even see with the naked eye. Amazing what God has done. But it's all to be able to glorify Him. And God has done that with us as human beings. He's given us such unique makeup and so on, about mindset about ourselves. We shouldn't be trying to be like somebody else. Be who God created you to be. But do it according to righteousness. Do it according to God's plan. Why? What does that do? That ultimately glorifies the Lord. That ultimately sheds light so that others can see God for who He is and come to Him. And by the way, they can be their unique self. They don't have to follow the crowd. Why do we have so many, and this has always been the case, that simply want to follow the crowd? They don't know the one that's created them. And so they're looking for something lesser to follow instead of looking to their Creator and saying, God, what did You create me for? What purpose? What mission? What task do You have specifically for my life? Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? The unique you. Have you figured out?
Thanks again for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages. We hope you got something from this message.